Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Here it is once more again, Wednesday night. And you're tuned into the Words of Wisdom broadcasting. And my name is Diane Adams, and I'm your host. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you on Wednesday night. And I pray that you will be edified, Satan will be horrified, and God will be glorified. I pray that everyone week that has the things that had happened in the week leading up to this, I pray that every one of you had a great week, and God is delivering things that you need in your life and that you've been asking him for, and he has showered favor upon you. You know, sometimes we could be going through things that it seems so unbearable and overwhelming that, as the world says, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. But in our life as a Christian, sometimes we can't see the blessings for the adversities. But I want you to just always remember to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he will see you through. It may not happen when you want it, but God is an on-time God. And if you keep holding on to the confession of your faith, it will not make you shame. It will not let you down. Yes, we all go through trials and tribulations because we're human and we have emotions and we feel things the way we feel them. But the answer to all is that God understands. And he knows anything and everything that you're going through. Nothing that happens in your life take God by surprise. He's there because he say he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He's there with open arms to comfort and to guide you in the things that you need. So hold on to God, unchanging hand, because he will see you through. And tonight, as always, I'd like to thank everyone for calling in. And I want to first give honor to God for allowing us this opportunity to come together week after week. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule, because we have been together for a long time. You know, we have made over 2 years, and some of you have been with me from the beginning, and we're still going strong in the Word of God. But I want to let you know tonight's lesson is going to be from the book of Peter, 2 Peter, verses, the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. 2 Peter, first chapter 1 through 10. And the title of the lesson is, God has given us his word, but we must put in the work to grow. God has given us his word, but we must put in the work to grow. At this time, we should open with prayer and go to the throne of grace. And if there's anyone out there who would like to pray, if you press the one button on your phone, I can open a mic and you'll be able to pray. If there's anyone listening on the internet, there's a call-in number on there, 1-347-945-7659. If you dial that number, you will come into the studio. And if you press the one button on your phone, I will open the mic and you could speak through the airwaves. If not, let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, the love of our souls, Eternal Father, we just want to take this time to say thank you. Thank you for another opportunity for us to come together. Lord, I pray that everybody that's listening, either on the telephone or on the internet, dear God, that whatever they are asking you for, whatever they are going through, dear God, if they have a problem with their health, dear God, we know that you are healer, because you say it in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, if they have a financial blessing, We know in your word, you told us if we continue to trust you that we will become the lenders and not be the borrowers. Heavenly Father, we ask that any need or any situation that someone is going through, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you just touch them right now, dear God. Let them know that you are near because you promised never to leave them nor to forsake them. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word that go forth, that it won't return void, and that someone would hear a word that would spark them, dear God, and realize that everything is going to be okay, that God is still in the plan, that God is still in control, and that God truly loves you, and he's concerned about what's going on with us. Heavenly Father, and I just want to thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your long sufferings and your patience with us, dear God. Thank you for your healing hands and your delivering word, dear God. Thank you for anointing and thank you for the appointment that you give us, dear God. Heavenly Father, for all of these things, we are grateful and I'm thankful in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. Well, as we get in the lesson tonight, like I said, it's 2 Peter. And as always, I like to give a background, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Peter tonight. You know, Peter is one of the disciples, and Peter also wrote the book 1 and 2 Peter. And Peter wrote this book, this 2 Peter, was several years after his first encounter with Jesus. Peter was a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This was the last known writing of Peter. And not long after he wrote 2 Peter, he was marred. And for those who don't know, when we say the word marred, that means anyone that was killed because of their beliefs, their strong beliefs in something. And then Peter had a strong belief in the gospel, and they didn't want him to keep teaching and preaching. So because of that, he died, and that's what's called a martyr for his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was enthusiastic. He was very strong-willed. He was impulsive. At times, he was arrogant. And even sometimes, he was very cocky. You see, Peter was the spokesperson for the disciple. He was the one that, when they had concerns and maybe was fearful to go to God, Peter, because of his boldness, always took it to Jesus and asked questions. And sometimes it was on the behalf of the other disciples. And he did it boldly, even sometimes incorrectly. He was one of Jesus' closest friends and apostle, and he became the pillar of the church. But you see, with all of his strengths, Peter had several failures in his life. You see, Peter was the one when Jesus told his disciples that he would die and he would suffer and be killed and crucified, but in 3 days he would rise. You see, Peter was the one that didn't want to hear that. He said, you know, he rebuked Jesus for saying it. You know, he wasn't ready for Jesus to go, and he didn't understand. So he took it upon himself to rebuke Jesus for what he had said. You know, Peter was also the one that cut the soldier ear off when they came to get Jesus to bring him to court in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the soldiers came, and they got ready to arrest Jesus. Peter took out his sword, and he cut one of the soldiers' ear off. Yeah, that Peter. You see, one time Jesus walked on water and Peter wanted to go to meet Jesus and Jesus told him, come on. And Peter began to walk on water, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus and his faith began to waver, Peter began to sink. You know, that same Peter was the one who denied Jesus 3 times. That same Peter, because when they asked him, did he know the Christ, well, Jesus, and he said no, and Jesus had already prophesied before the cock crowed 3 times, you would deny me, and Peter did. But you see, through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He made a lot of mistakes. He did things wrong, but he kept going, and that's what we have to realize in our lives. We have to keep going. We have to keep pressing. We have to keep holding on. And that's what Peter did. Through all of his trials and tribulation, all of his shortcomings, he kept pressing on. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometime in our lives. But we must do like Peter. When we fall, when he fell, he got up, he repented, and he kept it moving. You see, that's what we have to do. No matter what comes our way, no matter what adversity, trial, or tribulation, and sometimes it just seems so overwhelming and so hard till, you know, we allow ourselves to get down, and sometimes we stay down too long. But by continuing to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, Peter became matured. You see, that's our goal as Christians and as children of God. We are trying to become matured. And I want to tell you this. I don't care how matured you are at this point. There's a lot more growing up to do, because God delivered things in mysteries and times, and we will be ever learning, and we should be coming to the knowledge of the truth. You see, after Peter had did all of that, but as he matured and he kept growing and studying the word of God and understanding God and not just hearing the word, but he became a doer of the word, it strengthened him. He got strong. He became matured. And you see, by growing in grace and the knowledge of God, Peter, you know, began to look back over his life. And then he realized when he rebuked Jesus, he was just leaning to his own understanding. You know, the Bible say, lean not to your understanding, but if you don't understand it, you don't know what it means. But after Peter had begun to grow and know more, he realized when he did that, he was leaning to his understanding. You see, when he cut the soldier's ear off, he now realized that that battle was not his, but it was of the Lord. It was prophesied that that would be, so he didn't have to fight no battle. You know, and really and truly, when he cut the man ear off, Jesus was all right with it, because Jesus had decided to go to the cross and die for our sins. And in 3 days, he would rise. So when Peter cut the man ear off, Jesus picked it up and put it back. You see, when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. We can't take our eyes off of Jesus when we come into a problem. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he delivered us once, he could deliver us twice. If he comforted us once, he could comfort us twice. If he stood by us and we understood it by and by, whatever you're going through, you're going to understand it by and by. But it's not so much what is happening, it's who you're going through it with. You see, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, it was because of fear. He now knows that God has not given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And if he had just held on to the confession of his faith, he wouldn't have denied his Lord. You see, Peter kept studying and learning, and then the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, began to make sense to him. Because Jeremiah 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. All of us, this scripture is for all of us. God say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. You see, but through it all, the Lord who chose him, talking about Peter, from the foundation of the world, continued to mold and shape him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. Just like Peter made all the mistakes and fell short of the glory of God, God continued to mold and shape him. And that's what God is doing in our lives. If we allow him, if we cooperate and we be obedient and we learn the word and we could expect, We could go to God with a spirit of expectancy to expect the things that God has promised, but you got to know what the promise is to expect it. You see, when Jesus chose Peter, he saw beyond who he was, but who he would be. You see, God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in total control, and we must be confident that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But you got to trust him. We see that the word of God, which gives us knowledge of God, the grace of God, which is activated by our faith in Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Ghost to guide us, we can see what God did for Peter and have the assurance that he'll do for us. So as I close talking about Peter, I want you to remember one thing. God has given us his word. And in his words is all the promises, the blessings, the provisions, the correction, the reproach. It's your daily instruction for daily living. God wrote that to be a manual for you to live by to have success. Remember, God has given us his word, but we must put in the work to grow. And I'm going to the scripture now. I'm in 2 Peter. I'm in the first chapter. I'm in the first verse. And I'm going to read the first verse and the second verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. What is this saying? First of all, Simon Peter, it's like a salutation. Simon say he was Simon Peter. He told us that I'm a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ. And what he was telling you is that he was writing this letter to us and to everyone that was in the faith. He said, obtain like precious faith. He's telling us he's writing it to us. You see, here we see Paul is talking to the believers of Jesus Christ who have obtained the faith. If you obtain the faith and you believe in Jesus Christ, this message is for you. Peter is writing this to let you know what to do. He then goes on to say that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you as you learn. So how, you know, people say, oh, Jesus, teach me how to increase my faith. Please teach me how to have peace. Can I get more grace? This scripture lets us know grace and peace will be multiplied unto you as you learn more knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So what that's telling us, the more we know, the more we get. To receive the rewards of grace and peace, you have to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. You have to put in the work. You see what happens, many believers want an abundance of God's grace and peace. But they are unwilling to put forth an effort to get to know him better through Bible study and prayer. How many people don't study the Bible? How many people don't pray like they should? I don't know nobody study all that they want to study. And I could talk about myself. I believe I have more time that I could put into studying, and I believe I could pray more. But you got to do something. You know, there are some people who don't pick up the Bible. But the Bible is God talking to you. And then when you pray, you let God know your petition and you wait to him. That your prayer, the Bible is God talking to us. And when you pray, is you talking to God. And once you pray, you listen to what God has to say. You see, to enjoy the privilege God offers us freely, we have to grow in the knowledge. You know, there's a lot of things that God may want to do for your life because you don't have the knowledge. You're not ready to receive it. You're not in position to see some of the things that God has for you. Because if he give it to you and you don't understand it, he's giving you the directive through the word, you won't catch it. The word of God is where you find the knowledge of God. You want to know God? Go to the word. Simple as that. Because the more you know, the more you will grow. You see, and we're going to look at the third verse now. The third and the fourth verse. And it says, according as his divine power. When we see his divine power, you could put the word God there. Because back then, God, they reverenced God so much, they never wanted to say God. And in this particular verse, they say his divine power instead of saying God. So if we put God there, they say according as God has given unto us. His divine power was the words they used for God. So if we put God there, it would say according as God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. See, he's talking about the word. This part is talking about the word. Precious promises. Do you know all of the promises that God has put in the word of God for you? How can you expect the promise if you don't know it's there? And the scripture goes on to say that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is he saying? This verse is saying, God has put everything in the Bible that you need to live a godly life. Everything is in there. He's not short of nothing. Believe it. He said, and he called you to glory and virtue. And if you read the word and you understand it and you do what it says, you're going to have virtue. And then what it's saying, whereby has given excellent, great, and precious promises. They tell you all of the great promises. The great and precious promises are in the world that you could be partakers of his divine nature. He said, he know you can't do it on your own. But he said, read the word and take the lesson and put it in your heart, and you'll be experiencing and become a partaker of his divine nature, because your nature is flawed. And it's going to be flawed till Jesus come back. He said, but here on earth, I'm going to give you a chance to take a part and be a partaker in my divine nature. And he said, it will escape the corruption that is in the world of lust. That means turn around from things. Read the Bible and see what you need to have success, and you will escape the corruption of the world. Simple. You see, many times people have made up in their mind as to what is necessary and what is not concerning the things of God. You know, time and time people say, yeah, they sit all this in church and they so holy, all that's not necessary. You see, some believe that they don't have to study the word or prayer, even fellowship with believers in order to grow. The word of God, God orchestrated it. Prayer, he gave you that to communicate. Fellowship was ordained by Christ. Jesus established the church. Take what you want. Do what you want with it. But that's what happened. You see, we are not afforded the privilege to make it up what we think the word is saying. You got to study to find the truth. You know, you could go to church and the pastor could say something. You don't know if he's saying it right or wrong. That's why the Bible says in Timothy 2:15 that you got to study for yourself. You have to study to show yourself approved as a workman, not being ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to know it for yourself. Some people only repeat the words that their mama said. And if their mama was saying it wrong, they saying it wrong too and will be saying it wrong forever if they don't get in the word for themselves. You see, this scripture is saying, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life. You can only obtain it through the knowledge of him that has called us. The scripture is telling the power to grow doesn't come from within, but from God. Because we don't have the resources to be truly godly. Because flesh is on our bones. And flesh is going to crave for what flesh wants. That's why we often say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God knew this. So he said we don't have the resources, but he's going to let us partake in his nature. God allows us to participate in his nature, which is his characteristics, his attributes, and his qualities. He allows us to partake in that as we grow. It was God's desire that we take the image of Jesus. The more we do what Jesus say do, the more we do as Jesus say to do it, the more we are partaking in his divine nature. Christians are now responsible to draw upon these provisions in order to build a godly character in an ungodly world. You might say that you trust God, but you can't truly trust someone you don't know. You see, God has given us his word, but we must put in the work to grow. There is no way human possible to know God without studying his word. You see, the Word of God is where He allows us to know Him intimately, truly. And when I talked about putting in the work, when we get to the fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth chapter, this is the work that Peter is talking about that we have to put in so that we can grow. And if we start with five, and it says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperaments, and to temperaments patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, that's some of the attributes of God, and that's the attributes God's going to allow us to partake in if we use them, if we work them, if we meditate on them, if we study them. And then the eighth verse says, if these things be in you, the things that I talk about, virtue, faith, temperance, patience, brotherly love, kindness, goodness, that's right there in the scripture. It's not me saying what you need to be. I'm talking about the scripture. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. If you do these things, if you put the work in on these different virtues and characteristics, you won't be barren. And we know barren means unproducing. And we know unfruitful is just something that's there and ain't necessary. It's not doing any good. Unfruitful. You, if you do these things, you will be fruitful and you will not be barren. But if you don't do these things, you will be barren and you will be unfruitful in the knowledge of God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. You see, this scripture is letting us know what is necessary to grow and become mature and in the faith. The traits stated in this scripture are needed to grow and be productive and fruitful. If you take inventory on yourself and you are still drinking milk, as the Bible say new Christians does because of their newness, and you have been with God for any length of time, and in some cases a very long time, and yet you can't digest the meat of the word, then something is wrong. We're talking about Christian growth, and Christian growth is essential. And you know, growth is essential, period. If I have a little boy and I bring him in his, if we was all in one place and I brought a little boy with me and he's 10 years old, but he's crawling on the ground like a baby, and you know, you might not say it to me, but what will come in your mind that something is wrong. You would definitely say that something was wrong with that child. So when you see a Christian that has been on a battlefield for years and sometimes years and sometimes years and have not grown in the grace and the knowledge of God, sometimes they don't even know that the first book in the Bible is Genesis and the last book is Revelation, you would have to say something is wrong. You see, God has supplied everything necessary for us to grow, but we have to put in the work. You see, growth is an option, and it's up to you how fast and how far you travel. It depends on you. And everybody not going to get it in the same time, and everybody not going to get it in the same way. But my suggestion to each and every one of you is to get the most that you could get, that you could get that's for you. Because you see, what God has for you is for you, it's not for me. What God, the way God wants me to do is not for you. But God have a way for all of us, and we should be striving to achieve our way as far as what God has for us. That's why the Bible said we are one. We are one body with many members. The Bible tells us that We are one body with many members, and each one has their own specific part to play. You know, someone has said the whole world is a stage and everybody plays a part. Well, with the word of God and how God created us, he gave every one of us a design purpose. He gave every one of us a design assignment. But to find it out and to be able to work what he has given you, you got to put in the work. And how far and how fast you travel depends on you. Sometimes people, when they get ready to pray, especially people I encountered that never prayed out loud, they are all trying to pray. You know, they don't think their prayer is good because they hear people with a long prayer and maybe anointed and appointed prayer. And they think that they set up in their mind that that's the right prayer. But let me tell you, prayer is just communicating with God. And your prayer ain't going to be their prayer, and you shouldn't want your prayer to be their prayer. Your prayer is your prayer. Praying is just talking to God, and telling him about yourself, making your petition known, thanking him for his goodness, and asking him to lead you and to give you wisdom and direct you and protect you. Come on now, y'all. But your prayer is your prayer. Where God is leading you, he's leading you. You know, they had a preacher at my church Sunday, and he said, God made everybody uniquely, and everybody have their own assignment, because if God made two of the same kind, one would be obsolete. There's no one like you. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. But you got to have a relationship. You see, Satan is always watering down the word of God in our minds, trying to get us to think right where we are is all right. And where you are right now is all right, but it has nothing to do where you gonna go. It has nothing to do with you getting more matured. That you begin to grow. I'm not telling you where you're at is not all right, but it's not where you should want to stay, because there's newness every day. And God is revealing more and more in his word each day. And the Holy Ghost is ready to take with you the knowledge that you have and illuminated and revelated for your life, that you could get stronger. You see, the word is your strength. The word is what carries you through. The word is what allows you to sleep when all hell has broke loose. You see, the word is the word is the word. In the midnight hour, when all faith is gone, when you say, I'm going to trust you anyhow, Lord, and you know you're going to show up, the word that he could be a doctor in the sick room, the word that he could be a mother to the motherless, the word that he will never leave you and forsake you, the word that he will take care of your enemies and make them your footstool. See, that's the word of God. But if you don't know him and you don't have an intimate relationship with him and you haven't deciphered the word and you just hear it and it haven't penetrated in your heart, you can't use that word for your strength. You can't use that word as your shield and your armor. You cannot use that word until the word, no, it can use you. Put in the work. Hallelujah. You see, the devil always want to make you think you all right where you're at. Plenty of times people have said, and I've heard them, and in their mind, I'm better than some people. Okay, that could be true, and now what? Yeah, you might be better than some. But don't use people to be your example. Line yourself up with the word of God and line yourself up with Jesus. And then you see how you measure up. And some say, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And then they turn around and say, no one's perfect. That is so true. But the Bible teaches us that we need to grow. And we will never be perfect, but we're supposed to press for the mark. And we're supposed to keep pressing. Because I'm going to tell you like this, you can do whatever you want. You can stop right where you are, and you're going to get right with what you get. But if you want more, Jesus said, I'll bring you to the table and let you eat. Do you want to eat from the table and get full? It depends on you. But I came to tell you, Satan is trying to water it down and make you think this is okay and stop you from trying to press forward and grow and becoming more mature. But I came to tell you, the devil is a liar. You see, the word of God is designed to aid you in all matters that pertain to life. All matters. That's what the scripture says. It's not dying. All matters that pertain to life. So what is that? Your children, your wife, your finances. Come on now, y'all. Your house note. Your job. All matters that pertain to life. That's the way the word of God is designed, to aid you in all matters that pertain to life in order to live in this evil world. God knew this world was going to be like this in 2015, and he knew how it's going to be in 2025. It's going to be worse than it is now. But you are here. His. You're a child. You're a child of the king. And even though you're going to be in the world, you're not going to be of the world, and he's going to make a way for you to escape. You got to know that in the word. That's what keep you holding on, because this world will take you out. You see, there is a world standard which gives destructions and God's standard which gives life. You have to choose this day, but you don't really know God's standard unless you study the word. The Bible teaches us that we have to live in this world, but not be of this world. And how to do that, the Bible explains it. Check it out. But you must read it. Because no matter where you are right now, I would assume that you desire that your latter life will be better than your beginning. That's scripture, y'all. He said, I allow your latter to be better than your beginning. You didn't know that, that's in the word of God. That's why I say the promises that's in the word of God. You don't know that they're there if you don't read the word of God. And then we go to the ninth verse, and they say, but he that lacks these things is blind. What things? The things I told you in the fifth, sixth, and seventh chapter. The things about virtue, godliness, you know, you go back. That's how you read the word of Bible. You go back, and it say, giving diligence into your faith, virtue, and it tell you these things. That's the things they say. But if you lack these things, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is letting us know that if we lack knowledge in the things of God, you are blind and cannot see. And if you are not doing a good work, it appears that you were never saved. You know how some people come to church and they saved and they Christians and they confess salvation, but the way they act, it seemed like they was never saved. Or they act like they forgot that they were saved and they pick up their old sins. Why would you continue to do the things you did when you were ignorant? That's what the scripture said. Why would you? When you didn't know no better, you did these things. Now you're supposed to know better, and you're still doing them. You know, there's a time that we didn't know, but now that we do know, we should grow. And behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When you accepted Christ, you became a new creature. Have you ever learned to walk in your newness? And it's a battle. Because you see, growing sometimes causes pain. To give up and to stay focused and to stay, you know, not worrying about the wrong things, you know, it's a battle. You see, growing sometimes causes pain. Because, you know, there's a saying that say, no pain, no gain. But when you were saved, you enter the sanctification process designed by God. You see, the first step of the sanctification was positional. When you accept Christ as your Savior, God put you in position to receive all that he had to offer us right here in this earth and now and all through eternity. You see, the next stage is the progressional stage. That's where we are right now, and we're going to be there until Jesus comes back. You see, the first stage was all God. Progressional stage is what we do. This is where we are right now and will be until Jesus comes back. This process is where we play an active role by growing in grace and becoming stronger Christians, studying, praying, and allow the Holy Ghost to guide us and direct us. But we must cooperate and submit. We're in the positional. No, we're in the progressional. When you accept Christ, you got in position. He sanctified you. He set you apart. He redeemed. He rescued you. He took the sting out of debt. That's when you got in position. Progressional is where we're going right now. Every day of our life, we're in a progressional part of sanctification. That's why some people say we are being saved daily. You see, this is where the growth takes place. Our faith must be go beyond what we believe. It must become a dynamic part of who we are and all we do. And it should result in good fruit and spiritual maturity. When you say good fruit, let me tell you, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost came to live with you, and he brought the fruit of the Spirit. And they don't say fruits, even though it was nine. They say the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason they say this is because God wants them to all work in you together for your good. So, you know, those are the love, the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, faith. All of those things. You could go to Galatians, the 5th chapter and 22, and you see the fruit of the Spirit. And what Peter's saying when he's saying fruitful and unfruitful, these fruits should be seen in you. And I could ask you a question. Many of us have been Christians for a while. And I wanted to ask you, you know, whenever somebody is say they something to prove it, you need evidence. If somebody took an inventory of you, would there be any evidence that would allow them to know that you are a Christian? Check it out for yourself. A person who claimed to be saved while remained and unchanged does not understand faith or what God has done, is doing, and promised to do for us. God has given us his word, which is his will and his way. God never gives you the opportunity to say something is missing. Ain't that sweet? Let me tell you this. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you feel God didn't show up. I don't care if you're saying God didn't answer your prayer. I don't care if you say, why God let this happen to me, or why God let that happen to me. I come to tell you tonight, God, you will never have the opportunity that God fell short, or that something was missing, a God word, a God design, and God control was not complete, because God is perfect and complete, and he's full, and he's lacking nothing. So you take that, you remember that. It may not seem like it, but I'm telling you, God, you'll never have the opportunity to say God fell short. Because God have all power. He knows all things, and he everywhere at the same time. Whenever God get ready to do something for you, he don't have to go ask nobody, is it all right? God make decisions on his own. Hallelujah. You see, God has given us everything necessary to live a righteous life, full of mercy. You see, when he gave us a life full of mercy, that's holding back what we deserve to get because of who we are and our shortcomings. But you see, that mercy hold it back, and then he give us grace. It's giving us what we don't deserve. Then he gave us love by giving us his son. And he gave us the peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what the question is, the word of God has the answer. But you got to put the work in to grow. How could you lose with the things that God uses? You see, the final process of sanctification will occur when Jesus returns for his people. And he's going to have his rewards in his hand. You see, God took care of the first process, because, you see, he made that happen, and it was a gift because he gave his son. And when you accept his son, you became in position. And God's going to take care of the final part, because, you see, it's all a gift. Because, you see, when Jesus come back for those who are saved, they're going in eternity. God took care of the first part, and he took care of the last part. But, you see, we're in the middle right now, and this is the part he expects you to take care of. Come on now. This is where God wants to see what you're working with. Now, the middle is now where we in this process, and it depends on us. And even here, God has given us instrument, which is the word for daily living, and the aid of Holy Ghost to carry us in this progressional state. What more could he do? You see, we have a responsibility to grow in grace by the knowledge of God. What are we waiting for? Tomorrow is not promised. And you always should remember that only what you do for Christ will last. And if we look at this last scripture, it says, therefore, the brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you will never fail. If you do what things? Go back to the other things that he asked you to do with the virtue and the faith and the perseverance. He's asking us that, and to grow and to get matured and, come on now, and to study and to pray. If you do these things, your election will be sure, because you're going to have the evidence to who you are. You're going to have the evidence that you spent time with God. You're going to have the blessing assurance that God can really does what he say he will do. You see, that's the calling and election. Can you make it sure? So many people don't know they calling and their election is not sure because they don't know. But he said, if you do these things and give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, as I close tonight with this last scripture, I want to let you know, if you really know God, you would have to love him. You can't know who you are until you know who your maker is. The more you know about God, the more you will know about yourself. Why you think they have so many people walking around looking for love in all the wrong places? Never satisfied with nothing, because they haven't met their maker. Come on now. When God created us, he had a spot in us for only he could fill. And if you haven't filled that spot, you're going to always feel like something is missing. The more you know God, the more you will know who you are. As you grow and mature in the things of God, you will be able to say things like, you'll be able to say things with a blessed assurance that, you know, you'll be able to stand tall in your election, your calling and election is sure, and you can stand up and say, no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. What's that saying? I know some weapon's going to form against me, but with the aid of God, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to take me out. I might fall down, but I'll get up. You know, it may not, God may not come when I want him, but he on time, and that weapon is not going to form against me. And, it might form against me, but it won't prosper. Yeah, I'm sick, but God could take care of that. Yeah, my bills is behind, but if I keep pressing for the mark, and then you got to do the work and keep yourself in position, and it won't prosper. You see, when you do this and have the blessing assurance in your election, your calling and election is sure, you could say God will truly work all things out together for my good. You could say I'm the head and not the tail. You could say even though weeping endure for a night, you know that joy is going to come in the morning. See, by studying and growing and becoming mature in the word of God, all these words become real. And that's how you make your calling in election sure. I'm going to close with this. God has given us his word. And everything that we'll ever need is in it. No matter what the question is, God, the word of God has the answer. It's to strengthen you, to guide you, to protect you, to help you, to give you peace. Teach you how to be patient. Teach you how to love everybody. God has given us his word, but we have to put in the work to grow. And that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that someone was encouraged. You know, when you look at Peter, you know, Peter was about to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter had been on the battlefield, and he, you know, in his beginning, you know, he was messing up, and he just, you know, he wasn't strong in the word, but he grew in grace. And Peter knew, because right after 2 Peter, not so long after that, Peter was killed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when Peter writing this, and this is Peter writing, he telling you, look, y'all, get it together. He said, I know it's real. I know it's work. I know it work. He said, you know, he's putting all these emphasis on it. He said, because don't fail like I did. Save yourself from failure by putting in the work and grow. He said, but even with all of that, he said, you could see my life, that even though I did that, God still used me. Because God said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shouldn't prevail against me. That's the same as they say, knucklehead Peter. God got a work for each one of you. But doing the work gets us in position to receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Doing the work gets us in position to receive the blessing. Now, the Holy Ghost just gave me that, so that's for somebody. And I'm going to say it again because it sounds good to me. Doing the work puts us in position to receive the blessing. And that's the program for tonight. If anybody would like to make a comment or pray, ask for prayer or anything, you could press the one button, and you can make your comments. You could ask for prayer. You could pray. But that's our lesson for tonight. And I thank God. I have one caller. Your number is 504-421-44. Your mic is open. You may speak now.
Hi. I was calling to give some input on the lesson. It was very informative. I started with the class on Monday, and I enjoyed the radio session. I ask that y'all keep me in prayer for me going through my storm. I also know that without God, I could never still be here, and I just want to let y'all know, as I go in age, I'm going to grow in grace, because I'm leaning and depending on Jesus, and I'm going to do the works that he has provided for me to do. And I thank God for putting Diane Adams in my life. I love her teaching. It's just something about her that just motivates me, that keeps me going. I was already going, but now I want to go some more, like I'm pressing toward that most high call of God. That's all I want to see. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of this.
Thank you, darling. And you could give us your name, because when we pray for one another, we like to call your name. Everybody on the line, they have been a touching and agreeing and praying for the people that's asking for prayer. So if you give us your name, you don't have to give us anything else. Could just be your first name. So when we go to God on your behalf, we can call out your name.
My name is Cynthia.
And we thank you so much for calling, Cynthia. And since it's your first time, I pray that God leads you back here again. And, oh, I have to tell everybody, and somebody hung up, I'm so sorry, but I won't be here on next Wednesday. I have to leave and go out of town. I won't be on the station next Wednesday. I'm sorry, one caller hung up and I didn't get to tell him that. But I won't be here next Wednesday, but I'll be here the Wednesday after that. But y'all pray for Cynthia, and if God say the same, we'll be back again, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. Thank you so much for your comments, Sister Cynthia. And God be with you and bless you, and we will all lift you up in prayer. Thank you. I have another caller that has pressed the button. Their number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open. You may speak.
I just want to say I appreciate you, Miss Diane, so much. I am so happy I met you. your Bible study is wonderful for me. It really is. And just pray for my sons. I have two sons and I have a grandson. And that's all I can say. And I pray for you, Miss Diane, too. I hope everything's well with you, and I'll keep you in my prayers. But I am just so, so happy I met you. It was the grace of God.
Yes, nothing happened
thank
by
you.
Accident, and I thank God for you as well. Tell the listeners your name, and they're going to pray for you and your sons and your grandson. And when they go to God, I'm asking that each and every one of y'all, when y'all pray, please call their name out loud to God. What's your name, caller?
My name's Diane. My son is Dustin, Derek, and I have a grandson named Daniel.
And we're going to definitely do that. And we ask, when, you know, listen at this. You guys come on here every Wednesday. We have become sort of a family, even though we don't know each other. And we have to uplift each other and give words of encouragement and definitely pray for one another. So I've asked that everybody listening, and most of the people do tell me that they are praying one for another. When the prayers line is open and they ask people, ask for prayer, they say that they are praying for them. And God finds favor in that. You know, that's a part of our growing in grace, when we can start praying for people you don't know. Because God said if you want to only pray for your little situation going on, if you just want to pray for your children, if you just want to pray for whatever, he said, I ain't doing much. Because, you see, he said heathens do that. He said, but when you could just extend yourself to the body of Christ, and not just the body of Christ, but people in need, that's where the maturity come in. That's where the growing come in. So pray for our sisters and brothers that the request is gone, and I guarantee you it will be a part of your growing process when you learn to extend your prayers even to others. And Sister Diane, I want to thank you, and we will lift up your two sons and your grandson, and Cynthia, we will also pray for you. If anyone else would like to make comments, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, it's now 9:27. I don't want anybody else to hang up before we do a prayer, a closing prayer, at least a benediction, and after that I'll play the music because some people like to hear the music. But remember, I won't be here Wednesday, but I'll be here the next Wednesday. And if it's my prayer that God will sustain and hold each and every one of you, and if the Lord say the same, we will meet back then. If you ever have a topic you want to talk on, if you press your one button, you tell me that topic, that would be our lesson. But at this time, I am so grateful for each and every one of you. And I just want you to know, you know, sometime, not sometime, but like right now, my heart is just full because the word spoke to me as well. You know, when God asks us to share the word of God, you people don't realize that when they open up their mouth to share the word of God to others, it also helps them. And I feel so much encouragement from the word of God tonight. And I thank each and every one of you for keep coming back and allowing this platform to take place, and God keep giving us the opportunity. So to each and every one of you, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful, and I love you just like God loves you. And, you know, if God say the same, we'll keep meeting back again. So if anybody would like to do the benediction prayer, you could press the one on your phone. I'll open up the mic. You could pray. If not, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this time that you allowed us to be together. I want to thank you for each and every person that keep coming back to hear your word, and I thank the Holy Ghost for showing up and giving me word. I thank you for the encouragement and the fellowship that we share with one another and the prayers that's going to go forth. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon Sister Cynthia, dear God, as she have situations, as she say, and she's going through circumstances in her life, dear God. Lord, whatever it is, I know you can fix it, Lord, and I'm asking you to look down upon Sister Diane, and she have her two sons and her grandson, dear God, and she want favor on their lives, dear God. I'm sure she wants you to please direct them in a way that they go, but let them listen to what you have to say, dear God. Lord, but until then, Lord, please protect them and guide them into righteousness and truth. Holy Ghost, I know you on your case, and I know you are speaking to their heart, but I ask that you rebuke Satan long enough for them to just answer the call of God. Lord, I just want to thank you. I thank you right now in your darling son, Jesus' name. I thank you for every person here, and I pray that blessings just overflow in their life. I thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy. I thank you for your word. Hallelujah. And I thank you for the peace. And I thank you for the joy that you give us in our lives, dear God. And I thank you for the sanctification process, dear God. And I thank you for putting me in position and allowing me when I had faith in your son. Lord, and I thank you for all things being equal, and you are total control, and you are my Lord, you my master, you my King of kings. Hallelujah. I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit, dear God. You prove your love to us because you gave your son. We just should do what you ask us to do. You know we're not going to be perfect. You know we can't do it sometimes even like we want. Paul in the Word say, every time I go to do good, evil is always present. But you made us, and you know all about us, God. Continue to mold and shape me into what you would have for me to be. Let me reach my intended purpose, dear God, as I grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hold me, dear God, and protect me. Hallelujah. Keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, we're in this evil world, but let us not be of this world. And you say you're going to take care of yours. And I am yours, dear God. And you're going to take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. I want y'all to know that God loves you, and so do I. It's now 9:30. Everybody's had the benediction prayer. And there's a scripture in 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And let the church say amen. I am so grateful and I'm thankful, because I know people hang up at the 9:30 hour, and I don't never want you to miss the closing prayer. But if someone else would like to make any comments, I could still open the line, and I'm going to go ahead and play some music because they want to hear at least another song. But that's the end of the lesson tonight, and I'm going to play this because this is a record I played last week, and I got a lot of comments on it, and it's I Understand. Y'all be blessed, and the record is going to play. Amen.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me, I am the Lord, I see.
I am the Lord, and I change it not. I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
God and all of his bountiful blessings. I have a caller that would like to speak. Caller, your number is, I don't know if you want to speak again, but let me see. 985-774-71. Your line is open. 985-774-71. Would you like to speak?
Yeah, Diane, I'm just saying how much I'm, I didn't press the number again, but
okay.
I'd like to know what church, you go to. I really would. I'm just so happy, and I'm so happy that I met you. I've always been through Bible studies for a long time, since 2006, but, I love the way you teach. You have a blessing on you, and I'm praying that everything is going to be okay with you and your family. But I need you to keep teaching. You just opened my eyes. And, yeah, I would like to know what church you go to, you know.
Okay, and I have your number, so I'll call and talk to you. And,
that's fine.
I have a Bible study that I do at home on Monday nights. And I'll give you that information because you're not that far from me. And maybe you would like to come on Monday. But I'll give you the church information as well. I don't usually always just go around or broadcast on the station, come by me on Monday nights, because I'm just sensitive to the word of God. But God, whenever God brings it up, you see what I'm saying? That's when I know it's real. You know, so I will call you tomorrow. And I will give you more information.
Yeah, because I didn't even press the number the second time. It just came up. So
yeah, well, it blinked off.
I just met you out the blue, too, and we started talking about Bible. So I just need to know more of you.
All righty. And I will call you on tomorrow and give you some information. And
thank you. Thank you, Diane.
And I just want you to let you know that I do love you. I love all of you. And thank you guys for coming. And it is now 9:38, and the program is off. I try never to keep you past an hour. So I do the benediction by the 9:30 hour. And then, you know, I play the music, and, you know, that's a choice. But it's the program is ending now, and I'll be back with you not next Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. And God be with you until we meet again. And amen, and thank God. Good night, everybody.